The odds against us at that particular time, bear in mind we were hovering towards the bottom of the second division at the time, and Portsmouth had already won the first division handsomely, and it was their golden jubilee year. See? So, the headlines in the paper, in one particular paper I recall seeing, was Lambs to the Slaughter. You see?
Because we were floundering near the bottom of the second division at that time. And it was a case of our manager. And I think Johnny Duncan, all due respect, he was a football mad, absolutely. Read it, slept it, you know, everything. And I can honestly say he had as much to do with us beating Portsmouth that day as anyone, because in the dressing room before the game, he said, "Look, lads," he says, "I'm not going to say much about tactics or anything." He says, "I know you're up against it today, but I've seen this team play the last 2 weeks. And I'll tell you now, man for man, from goalkeeper to outside left, you're a better team." Well, you can imagine what that done to us. We went out of there feeling 10 foot tall, you know, being compared with the First Division champions. And within 10 minutes, a quarter of an hour, Don Revy, who was inside forward then, Don Revy and Mal Griffiths went up the right wing together. 1-2, 1-2. Mal nipped it back to Don. Don banged it at the back of the net. Johnny Duncan's right, you know. Easy. Then he equalised, and then we scored another. And they should have equalised, but they didn't. And then we managed to get the third goal about 11 or 12 minutes from the end. And when you look at that big clock at Highbury, you know, behind the goal, you can say, another 10 minutes, we're at Wembley, you know. It was a great feeling, you know, you kept chasing forever, you know. Stop them scoring a goal again, you know. Mm. But the third goal made it, and they really hung their heads, you know.
By this time, Barlow, very disgruntled, was on the left wing. And in those days, if you get put on the wing, it's only because you're having a bad time elsewhere. Or you're injured. They stuck you on the wing. It's an insult, really. And of course, Bert Barlow took it this way. And when the play was well the other side of the field, he muttered to me, he says, "Look at our lot," he says. "Do you know," he says, "we've already booked the banquet for the final. We've already booked the banquet for the final. We've already had the tickets printed for the final. We had a meeting about it, and that's just what they've done." He said, I was the only one who said, "We haven't beat Leicester yet." And of course, they stuck me out on the wing here. He said, "You can have the ball when you want it," so to speak. That was his attitude, you see. However, we beat them 3-1. And I've never known such a reception that we got.
And the spectators came onto the ground, and they picked up virtually every player of our side and carried them on the shoulders, and little Charlie Adam was sitting right on top of two people, and they were really very excited.
But I think that was one of the greatest days for Leicester City, because everybody was agog. And I can always remember about our supporters, you know, before the game they were singing the Pompey chimes, "Poor old Leicester," you know. And our supporters were singing at the finish, "Poor old Pompey, poor old Pompey." It was great.
When I came off the pitch, normally you think, "Oh, I'd love a cup of tea." Believe me, a cup of tea to me was, and most players, is most refreshing. On entry into the dressing room, of course, to our surprise, we were all handed a bottle of whiskey each. And being thirsty, one didn't care what the liquid was. We were absolutely elated by the victory, you see. So sips of whiskey followed, and drinking it like one would drink lemonade. And very quickly, one felt a little bit under the weather. But one amusing part about it was our club doctor, Doc Lenton. Now, I believe he'd been drinking whiskey all afternoon. But in the dressing room there, first time I'd ever seen him do this, he'd stripped, stark naked, was running around, and instead of getting into the warm bath finally jumped into the stone cold bath, which is almost about 4 or 5 feet deep. However, to cut a long story short, we had to revive our club doctor, Dot Lenton. he was there to more or less look after us. That certainly created quite a bit of fun. Looking out of the dressing room, there are at least 1,000 supporters in the streets there, looking up at the dressing rooms, waiting to see the players. And I well remember holding the bottle of whiskey out of the window, tipping it up over one or two of the supporters who really enjoyed it. And that crowd remained there till we finally left the ground. You can very well imagine the elation in our dressing room. The atmosphere was absolutely tremendous. We finally get away from the crowds at Highbury and head for the station. Crowds running alongside the bus all the way, onto the platform. You couldn't see the train for supporters. We get on the train, which was a diner, and of course the subject of what shall we all drink? And our friend Chisholm suggested we all drink Drambuies. And of course within seconds the table in the dining car was covered in Drambuies. You don't need me to tell you what Drambuies are like. But still thirsty and feeling tired and having drunk a bit of whiskey, we didn't care what it was, you see. So these Drambuies in the small liqueur glasses that they're supplied in, they went down very, very quickly indeed. By the time we got to Leicester, we were the worst for wear, no question about that, but of course we couldn't show it. Getting into Leicester was another difficult time. We could not get off the train for about a quarter of an hour. I think the authorities had tried to stop the supporters from going onto the platform, from a safety point of view, but they were all on the platform. There must have been thousands of people on the platform. And we sort of had to scramble our way out of the train and then push our way to the stairway leading to the booking hall, where there was a bus, all bedecked in ribbons and so forth, waiting to take us into town to allow us to disperse, you see. And I well remember getting into this bus, and to my joy and delight, my mother turned up and got into the bus. And Johnny Duncan, our manager, kindly allowed her to come in. She came and sat next to me, which made me feel quite proud. We finished up in the Notts Working Men's Club that particular night in Humberston Gate, because my mother and father were there. We walked into this club and we got a terrific reception. It was amazing, you know, you'd think it was royalty arriving there. Because some of the people already had come back on an earlier train and had already seen the game, you see. And we had a lovely evening there.